Hello, I'm Ronnie Floyd, Senior Pastor of Cross Church. Thank you for tuning in today. Cross Church is a faith family that is passionate about sharing the love of Christ with the people of Northwest Arkansas, Southwest Missouri, America, and even the world. I thank you again for tuning in today. And please know that the entire Cross Church congregation and I invite you to join us in person at one of our 5 regional campuses. Come and be a part of our friendly, compassionate faith family. Go to crosschurch.com to learn more information about our fellowship of believers. If this week has taught us anything, it should teach us that without a doubt, people need Jesus. And unquestionably, people need each other. We all need each other. Today, I'm going to talk to you from 2 books in the New Testament. One is found in the 17th chapter of the Gospel of John, and the other from the 4th chapter of the book of Ephesians. I hope you have a copy of God's Word. If you don't, it will be on the screen. I do hope that you will listen, give careful attention to it. And let's hear the heart of God through the Scripture about the power and the call to unity. Look what Jesus prayed for His children, those of us that know Him today. John 17, verse 21 through 23. Look at it with me from God's Word. May they all be one, as You, Father, are in Me and I am in You. May they also be in us so that the world may believe You sent Me. I have given them the glory You have given Me so that they may be one as We are one. I am in them, and You are in Me, so that they may be made completely one, that the world may know You have sent Me and have loved them as You have loved Me. And then over in the book of Ephesians in the 4th chapter, in the midst of recognizable diversity, uniqueness, Jesus calls us through one of His men named Paul to unity. Look what he writes in verse 1. Therefore, I, the prisoner in the Lord, urge you to live worthy of the calling you have received. What's the calling you've received? Now, follow me for a moment. This is written to everyone who has received Christ in their life. They have experienced the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And because they have experienced the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, they need to live a life that is worthy of the gospel. In other words, the gospel is here, and God's will is that we would rise our lives, raise our lives, lift our lives to live according to the gospel. Now let's look at the second verse. The scripture goes on to say, the scripture goes on to say, verse 2, with all humility and gentleness,
with patience, bearing with one another in love, and notice verse 3, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope at your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. Think about what God says about God the Father. He says, one God. There's not multiple gods, there's one God. And there's one Father. And notice what it says about him, who is above all and through all and in all. God is calling us in the midst of being a very diverse people to live lives that are living and dwelling and operating in unity together. It is the heart of Jesus that you are one with another person, one with the people in your life, one in your family, one in the marketplace, one in your business, one in your town, one in the church. God wants us to be like we are one. When we understand and we know that people need each other, we know that we have such a passion and such a drive that I need you, you need me, we need one another. This is not easy. Nothing Jesus said in John 17 is easy. And nothing that Paul said in Ephesians 4 is easy. And that's why in chapter 4 of the book of Ephesians, in verse number 3, we lift up this verse today, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And that's what we're talking about today, making every effort. Making every effort. God calls us in life to make every effort to be people who live in unity together. Let me ask you today, do you make every effort to be in unity with your family? Do you make every effort to be in unity with your school, with your friends, with your relatives? Unity in your church. Unity in our country. Do you forward? Do you advance unity wherever you go, or do you cast suspicion? Create question marks. Build this mentality that leadership is bad and everybody is distorted. Everybody's a pervert. Everybody's not trustworthy. Or do you forward unity everywhere you go? You know, I have never seen this country more divided than I'm seeing it today. Never. This morning, on the way to church, I did an interview with our statewide newspaper on the way. And I made that statement to the lady who was interviewing me. And she came back on that statement. She said, now you're saying that you've never seen our country more divided, she said, that is really troubling. And I said, yes, it is troubling. Now, what I was thinking was, she has seen me, and she knows how old I am, and here's what I heard it say. Somebody as old as you, and it's that divided? But it is. None of that's God's will. If your family's divided, it's not God's will. If your school's full of division, that's not the will of God. Is the business you lead full of it? The community you live in full of it? Then listen, none of that's God's will. God wants us to make every effort we can to live in unity together. You see, we have people all over this country that are uniting for causes they don't like, and a few are uniting for causes they do like. Good causes. But unity is different than being united about something. Unity is what you are. Unity is what you ooze having in your life when you're being what you need to be. Unity is not something that is fabricated and can be fabricated or manufactured. But you have to work at it, and you have to work very diligently in doing it. That powerful verse in chapter 4, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. You see, when we find ourselves living by the power of the gospel, God calls us up in our life, and we have a new light to follow. We have a new level we're supposed to go. God doesn't expect us to live in the cellar of where most people live because their minds are polluted, their thoughts are diluted, and things are so crowded in their life with so much junk and evil and wrong. God wants us to live above that. God wants us to live with tamed strength, and God wants us to live with humility, and God wants us to live patient with what's going on and bearing one another in love, holding each other in love, regardless of the good or the bad in life. And that's why he's called us in chapter 4, verse 3, to making every effort. That making every effort is what I talked about in depth last week when we talked about these passages for the first time. In fact, I talked about both passages a lot in depth. Today I'm going to skim because I want us to spend most of our time today on the practical. But making every effort means that you have a willful desire and you take on an action in your life. It is you being conscientious that you're going to take this step of action, do these steps of action. You are eager about it, you're conscientious enough about it, and you're going to do everything you can to get your life into action to bring unity wherever you are. Are you making every effort to live in unity? This passage indicates to us that we're in a crisis, and this crisis is real, and this crisis is calling us to get off the sideline and to do what we can to create and to be and to bring unity wherever we go and to forward unity wherever we may be, to live in oneness together. And it's a call to action now, not later, but now. And we're to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. Keep the unity of the Spirit is a phrase there that is very important because the only thing that brings unity is the Spirit. And the Spirit is the Holy Spirit. And the only way you have the Holy Spirit is when the gospel of Jesus Christ is believed by you and Christ comes in your life. And when Christ comes in your life, the Holy Spirit comes to live within you. Therefore, what he is saying is, only God himself can create unity. Amen. Only God can do that. I mean, unity can only be done by that. We don't need to forget that unity is supernatural. But what is unity? Unity is oneness and harmony together. It's living in one accord. Are you in oneness? In one accord? Harmony with those you're working with? Living with in the family? Married to? And the scripture says we're to do it through the bond of peace. It's that bond of peace. You see, when Jesus comes in your life, you have the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes in your life, God gives you peace in your heart. And you have peace with God. And that peace is what surrounds your life and holds things together. It'd be like 10 of us up here, and 10 of us are going to make a pact. We're going to make a commitment. Now, we're not going to slice each other's wrist and put our blood together, but we're going to get real serious about this deal. I mean, we're going to get so serious about it that the 10 of us are not going to let anything outside of our unity or inside to harm our unity. And so what we'd do, we'd take a piece of tape, an adhesive tape, and we'd tie it around the 10 of us. It didn't matter if one of them wanted to get away. They could not bust through the tape. You know what the tape is? You know what the adhesive is? Paul said in the book of Ephesians, it is the peace of Christ. Once you know Jesus in your life, the peace of Christ is going to wrap you up with the church and with people that believe in Christ and Christ alone, and you're not going to want to get out. And if you did, he doesn't want to let you out. It's so important we understand the power of unity. Jesus said it this way, how in the world can you ever stand divided? You can't. You've got to stand united. I mean, this isn't hard, folks. These are things that probably your mom and dad taught you when you were kids. If they didn't, they should have. But unity is important. Agreement is important. Oneness is important. So today, if you're taking notes, I want to give you a few things today that I want you to go home with. And the first is a simple statement, and we're going to build on this statement. Making every effort is a call to unity and oneness. That's what it is. It's a call to unity and oneness. Unity and oneness. Are you one of those making every effort Christians? You should be, and I should be. We should be that making every effort, going above and beyond. It's a call to unity and oneness. So notice what it's a call to. Making every effort is a call to unity and oneness. Where does it begin? In our church. Because the church is the body of Jesus. So we need to make every effort to always live in harmony as a church. And it doesn't matter who we are, we're here as keepers of the unity, and we don't need to let anyone ever bring harm to the unity of our church. Making every effort is a call to unity and oneness with other churches that believe like us in the basics. They believe like us. You know, there are churches around this region that are great churches, and they believe like us. They may not believe all the way down this long, but let me tell you what they do believe. They believe the Bible is the Word of God and is our sole authority for life, faith, and practice. They believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation, and they believe the greatest need in this world is the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are a lot of churches that believe that. Let me just tell you something. If they believe that, they're my friends. They're my family members. We don't need to see churches like they're our competitors or their enemies. No, they're not. If they believe the basics of like that, we need them. You're going to heaven with them one day. You better get along with them. So we need to encourage them and pray for them. Bring God the glory through them. We need to be making every effort, being a call to unity and oneness in your family. Family's not an easy place to have unity today. Families are more dysfunctional than anything we've ever seen, almost in history, and maybe in history. Families are broken and torn. There's all kind of abuse that's gone on and happens. And I realize today that there are teenagers here and there are adults here who came out of a tough past. And for you to think about having unity and oneness in your family, you'd rather throw up. That's where a lot of people live. But let me tell you where God's will is. God wants it that your attitude is one and your attitude is toward unity, whether anybody else is in your family and whether anybody else is wanting to. Making every effort is a call to unity and oneness in the workplace. A divided business cannot move forward. We need workplace environments where unity dwells, and that unity is advanced and forwarded by men and women and teenagers who follow Jesus and who are keepers of unity even in the workplace. You're not creating suspicion. You're not creating this negativity. But you're out there forwarding unity, moving things along in a positive way. Are you making every effort also in your town? There are all kinds of towns or cities in this region. Call it what you want. Let's just call it town. What town do you live in? What city do you live in? Are you making every effort to keep unity in that town? Are you? You know, you can take a town, for example. You can take a school. You can take anything you want. And you can have 500 forums on racial reconciliation. Or you could have 100 forums on how to solve gang violence. But you hear me. Without the power of Jesus and without God getting involved, none of that's ever going to happen. But you still got to make every effort to see it happen. Because that's an effort and a worthy effort in every town and city in this region. Because you can be the voice to say the good and the positive. Making every effort with your friends. How many of you have friendships that are out of sorts? Friendships that are not in right. I thought this week as I was preparing this message again, I thought about after that horrible and horrendous shooting and the loss of young life, how many of those students lost friends that they had had an issue with? Somebody that they knew that they had an issue with. Maybe they were negative about. How tragic. You see, none of us, we never know when life is going to end. We're not promised anything other than the breath right now I have. And I need to make every effort I can to live in unity and live in oneness with friends. And also with generations. Are we making every effort to live in unity and oneness with generations? All generations. Generations other than your own. With all generations, from young to old to middle, living in unity and oneness with all generations and with all ethnicities, all ethnicities. You know, Jesus, he was committed to all ethnicities. He told us to go and make disciples of all ethnicities around this globe, wherever we may be. Today I want to extend to you a personal call for me as your pastor. And I want to give it to you in this statement. Making every effort, multi-generationally and multi-ethnically, will forward and ascend unity in every way. It will forward and ascend unity in every way. We've got to make every effort to be unified across generational lines and across ethnic lines. We must do that. Just think what would happen if we would begin to tie the success of our church to how effective we were reaching all the generations, from the preschool all the way to the oldest of the old. And we tied whether we were successful enough about whether or not we were multi-ethnic and we were committed to reaching all of the ethnicities of our region. I'm telling you, the more multi-generational, the more multi-ethnic we are as a church, the more we're giving our church a future and a hope. And I want you to write down this statement today because it's a powerful statement. Making every effort multi-generationally and multi-ethnically will forward and ascend unity in every way. The two challenging realities, I want to build upon that today. And I really want you to hear my heart here today. First of all, when we cease to be a multi-generational ministry, we are giving our future away, and soon we will become a ministry of the past. We need to be a multi-generational ministry. I mean, do you appreciate the young people in our church? Do you appreciate the children in our church? How many of you young people and children appreciate all the folks that are over 70? 80, 90. We got some good ones here. Do you appreciate them? Do you know them? You ever thought about getting to meet them? You say, well, I don't even know that old man. Really? You're going to heaven with him. You ought to get to know him. He might be your next door neighbor. Oh, listen carefully. We need to appreciate one another multi-generationally. You see, so many times we're not that way. We make it about the clothes somebody wears or the songs they sing or the way they look or the way they act. We need each other. Multi-generationally, we need each other. And the young need to reach up and the older need to reach down. We need to be one, living in harmony and living in unity together. There's a second challenge. When we are not multi-ethnic as a ministry, we are irrelevant to our culture. We are irrelevant to our culture if we're not multi-ethnic. And soon we will become a ministry of the past. I mean, how multi-ethnic are we? Oh, we're better than we've ever been. But I want to challenge you in this. We have a long way to go. It's very difficult for a church to ever surpass in relationship to being a multi-ethnic church beyond the community itself. But the most recent statistic that I have seen in Northwest Arkansas is that 73% of the folks that live in this region, they look like me. They're white. Handsome, tall. Hey, don't laugh so hard. But forget all the fun, but here's this. They do look like me. They're white. But let me notify every one of us, it's been changing. When I came here, I doubt it, 31 years ago, that if more than 5% of this population was filled with people that didn't look like me. And now just think where we are. You go to our schools. You go to our places of businesses. And it ought to be, even when you come to church, multi-ethnic reality occurs. And Jesus died for all people, and all colors of skin. And we need one another. To all you white folks, I want to say this to you. You keep bringing white folks, but you get to know folks that don't look like you and you bring them. And to all of you folks that don't look like me, and you're not white like me, you get to know folks that look like me. But you also bring your friends that are white and your friends that are of all ethnicities and all races. They are welcome here at Cross Church. We believe in the power of that unity. You know, if we want our ministry to have a future, and if we want our ministry to always be current, there's only one way that's going to happen. You're multi-generational and you're multi-ethnic. Did you hear what I said? I mean, if you really want a ministry, a town, a business, a school to have a future that will always be current in today's America, then they will become multi-generational and multi-ethnic. We need all people. There are five facts about unity today that I want to bring closure with. I'll go very fast, and I want you to listen quickly here today. First of all, unity is biblical. It's biblical. It's in God's Word. And if God's Word says it, we know God says it. Jesus says it. And what Jesus says, Jesus means. And Jesus, He was all into unity. There are folks that think that, you know, well, for your unity, you know, you want to be together, it means you're like a little cushy, emotional basket case out here. Really? No, it means that you operate with truth and love, and you live that way. Unity is biblical. But unity is not just biblical. Unity is supernatural. It takes God. It takes God. It's supernatural, remember? It's the Spirit. You remember what I said? It's the Spirit. It comes from the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's power. There's no way we can have unity unless the Spirit brings us together. Amen. The Holy Spirit brings us together. That's why the church should forward and advance unity more than anyone else. I said this last week, and I'll say it again. The greatest diversity movement in the history of the world is the Church of Jesus Christ. This culture could not catch up if it wanted to catch up. Because Jesus has been saving people for over 2,000 years and really existing way before then, for thousands of years, where He brought people into relationship with Him of all ethnicities and of all ages. Praise God. Unity is intentional. That's a third thing. It's intentional. You have to make every effort. Are you going to be one of those make every effort Christians? That means you have to take specific and intentional actions to live in unity. That's not easy. Listen, it's a lot easier to live divided. Now, you're not going to feel as good about it. You're going to be messed up, and you're going to end up having a screwed up mentality. But I want to tell you something today. It's hard to live in unity. Because it puts it on you. It makes you do something. It's not just simply praying for it. You're going to do something about it. Amen? That's what we ought to be. And unity is testimonial. Jesus said what? How are they ever going to believe that God sent me to die for the world if those of you that follow me are not one? Because when they see that we are one, you are one, they're going to want to know who brought them that way. There's only one person who can bring them that way, and it's Jesus. Unity's testimonial. But also, unity is best. It's best. Oh, it's always best. It's best in the government. It's best in the team. It's best in the school. It's best in the workplace. It's best in our friendship. It's always best in the church. It's always best for your family. It's always best for every relationship you ever have in your life. Unity is always best. You say, well, you can't live in unity with everyone. As far as it depends on you, Paul said in the book of Romans, you need to be at peace with all men, peace with all people. You take the truth of God in one hand, the love of God in the other, and you go. I want to call all of us here today before we go home, begin to lead toward unity. I want to call all of us here today, stop dumbing down your spiritual life, creating skepticism and criticism and incessant cynicism. Lead toward unity. Begin to make every effort you can to forward unity. And if the church doesn't do it, if we as Christians and followers of Jesus don't do it, how in the world can we ever expect somebody else to do it? And guess what? The church has an opportunity to step into the space that is so, so really involved and open to us to step into, to champion unity. And to do whatever we can, wherever we are, to personify that unity. I close with this reality today. It's the gospel. The good news of Jesus. That Jesus Christ died for your sin. Jesus Christ was buried, and Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. And when you respond by faith to that gospel, Jesus saves you. Jesus changes you. Jesus takes your sin away. And he gives you heaven when you die, and he comes to live in your life forever and ever. I'm telling you, that's the power of the gospel. But have you thought about it? There's nothing more multi-generational than the gospel. And there's nothing more multi-ethnic than the gospel. Jesus died for all generations, and Jesus died for all ethnicities. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be what? Saved. Multi-generational, multi-ethnic. He didn't die just for folks that look like you or folks that are your age. He died for all generations and for all ethnicities. And today, if you've never received him as your Savior, acknowledge him as your Lord, I pray you will today.